Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. From the screen, would you read together with me the title of this morning's sermon, Confessing the Faith, based on our gospel reading just read, especially these verses. Jesus said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." I invite you this morning to take your service folder and flip it over and find there the sermon outline and follow along with me in our theme, Confessing the Faith. Some years ago, I was in a hospital surgical room having some outpatient surgery. And when the surgeon was right in the middle of his work, he asked me a question that, if it weren't for the setting and the pain of the procedure, would have made me laugh. Right in the middle of his working upon me, this Hindu surgeon asked me, "Tell me, what is it that you believe? Who do you say the Christ is?" Now, with the knife in his hand, what I wanted to say was, "Focus on what you're doing, buddy." But then I thought I just better answer and not beat around the bush. He was asking for a confession of my faith, a confession of what the Christian church believes. It was time for me to cut to the quick, pardon the pun. It was time for me to confess the faith. Now, there's so much in today's gospel reading for today. There's so much that could be said, but let's cut to the quick. Let's get to the very heart of today's passage. The issue of today's passage from Matthew 16 is this, is Peter's confession of faith when he was asked by Jesus, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter, without blinking an eye, said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." This sharp, clear confession says it all. We need look nowhere else. But note the responses of others to the question. The text said, others said, "Jesus is John the Baptist, if not miraculously revived, then just like him in his role as a mighty spokesman of God." Others said, "The prophet Elijah, who is hoped to come back just before the Christ appeared." Others said, "Jeremiah, or maybe another prophet." These were all noble replies. These were all highly esteemed figures, but they were all, as the saying goes, close, but no cigar. These responses all miss the mark. And Jesus is not satisfied with close. He only approves Peter's bullseye confession. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." You see, a miss in understanding and trusting who Jesus really is as good as a mile. This is certainly true for today, because you ask people today, "Well, tell me, who do you think Jesus is?" And you'll hear responses like this. "He was a good man. He was a good teacher. He was a prophet sent by God. He was a person over after whom you should model your life," and so on. These responses are also close, but no cigar. A miss in understanding who Jesus is and trusting him not only has consequences for today, but has consequences for all eternity. In fact, the only important question for you to be able to answer when you stand before God's judgment throne on judgment day is this: who do you say that Jesus is? Now take a look at our beautiful baptismal font here. Every baptism in this place declares that Jesus Christ is the Savior, the only Savior, the Son of the living God. Every baptism in this place makes public confession that there is salvation found nowhere else except in the name of Jesus. And looking back to that event I alluded to, I pray that's what I clearly communicated to that surgeon. But I pray that this is what we clearly communicate today as the people of Trinity Lutheran Church, because we live in a time, oh boy, do we live in a time when so many people around us believe in nothing. And sadly to say, a time in which many churches, many denominations have thrown away the historic Christian faith and laid aside the Word of God for liberal, godless, anti-biblical, worldly, politically correct philosophies. That is why it's so important that we here strive for a clear confession of Jesus and keep true to the teaching and preaching and learning of pure doctrine. But it can't stop there. The former president of our sister Lutheran church body in the USA, called the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, once said this. Regarding the confession of our faith, he said, "We are to get it straight and then get it out." That is to say, to teach and to stick with pure biblical doctrine and then give it away. Freely share it with others. It's not enough just to keep it straight. We are to get it out to a world that's dying. Dying in darkness and unbelief. And for many of us, this world is no further away than our own families, our own friends, our neighbors, and co-workers. Our gospel today focuses not only on the confession, that is, what we believe, but especially it focuses on the act of confessing, the task of sharing the confession, of confessing the faith. Having correct doctrine, hear me carefully, having correct doctrine and doing nothing with it is not having correct doctrine. Correct but unused doctrine in the fullest biblical sense is not correct doctrine. Because correct doctrine is known by the effects on the heart and souls of real flesh and blood people. Effects only come when that doctrine is taught, proclaimed, and shared. And the love of Christ is given away by God's people, by word and by deed. And my friends, we must confess, each one of us here, that the old Adam in each of us prefers that we remain silent and inactive. We must confess before God that too often we have been silent, we have been inactive, we have fallen short, we have not confessed the faith. And perhaps, are you with me now? Perhaps our sinful lives have made the wrong confession to others about who Jesus really is. We, as Peter later did, as found in Matthew 26, we, like Peter, deny Jesus and run from him. So then, who is left to confess the faith? Who can the Lord use to get the word out? The Peters of his church. You and I today are Peter. Hello, Peter. You may think your name is Judy. You may think your name is Max. You may think your name is Ian. Hello, Peter. Peter is not known in Holy Scripture as a self-appointed, sinless, perfect confessor. No, he and I and you are ordinary people whom the Lord calls. We are forgiven sinners in whom the Spirit of the living God has taken dwelling and in whom he has produced faith. I'm so glad to learn about Peter in Holy Scripture. You see, Peter falls down and Jesus lifts him up. Peter sins, and Jesus forgives him. Peter denies Jesus, and Jesus never forsakes him. In Peter, we see ourselves, flawed, yet forgiven. Sinful, yet made sufficient, and used by God by word and deed, to confess the truth of our Savior Jesus. And better yet, God the Father can only see Peter and can only see Peter's like you and me through the lens of the cross. The cross upon which our sins were destroyed. Our death was overcome. And our approval was secured for all eternity. Jesus said to Peter in verse 18, "You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." There's a word play going on here in the text. Because Peter's name in the Greek language means a little rock. And even though Peter is so often less than rock-like, Jesus tells Peter that he will use his rock-like confession of the faith to build the church. You see, it's not upon you and me. Thank God. It's not upon Peter that Jesus builds the church. It's on the rock-solid confession of the faith that Jesus has built and will continue to build the church today. Let me ask you, haven't we seen this very truth at work here in our midst as new believers continue to be added to the family of Trinity Lutheran Church? In simplest words, when the pure Word of God is taught and shared and proclaimed, and people continue to confess the faith, the church grows. People come to saving faith, and more are equipped for eternity. Now, I encourage each of you here this morning to go home and think about one special thing. I encourage each of you here to work on a personal statement of faith. To write down in just a few sentences and then put to memory who Jesus is and what he has done for you. How many times have you had the opportunity to share the faith but were stumped for just the right words? And it would be my pleasure as your pastor to help you prepare such a faith statement. If you want help, just ask. Well, what exactly is Christ and your church all about? That's what the surgeon asked me that day as he finished working upon me in the hospital in Edmonton. The procedure was over, thank goodness. This was his last question. It was a wonderful question. What exactly is Christ and your church all about? What would you have answered him? What is Christ and our church all about? Our clue comes from today's gospel reading. It can be summed up in four words, and I'm going to speak it to you and have you say it back to me. What is Christ all about? What is our church all about? The forgiveness of sins. Would you say that with me? The forgiveness of sins. Jesus tells Peter in today's sermon text, did you hear it? I will build my church on the rock of your confession. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. This office of the keys, this binding and loosing, refers to the authority Jesus gives to his church to forgive sins in his name. Jesus tells Peter, and Jesus tells us, that the message we have for the world, they can't get anywhere else. The faith we are to confess, the gift that God wants to give all people, is the forgiveness of sins won for them by the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. My friends, if this church or any Christian church quits giving away the message of the forgiveness of sins, then it's time to lock up the place, sell the building, and I'm sure the City Council of Richmond would be happy to build more high-rises right here. The only gift we have for the dying world is, say it with me again, the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name. The office of the keys. The keys to the kingdom are given to us. Why? Because people are locked tight in their sins. The good news we share by word and deed about Jesus and His blood-bought gift of forgiveness unlocks the prison doors of sins and sets people free for the kingdom of heaven. And the wonderful promise given to Peter and given to us is this: no power on earth, no power under the earth can ever overcome this gospel message of forgiveness. Jesus said, "On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." To Peter's like us falls the glorious task of confessing the faith, of announcing the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name. So here, as people of Trinity Lutheran Church, we gladly take up this task, whether on a surgery table or with our friends or with our families or in our daily lives. As the risen Jesus Spirit living on us, we join with Peter and confess to the world, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." God grant that be our confession for Jesus' sake, for the sake of the world. In Jesus' name, amen.